When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Go behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Car Stuff. I'm Scott Benjamin.
And I'm Ben Bolin. And Scott, do I have a deal for you today?
A deal?
A kind of a deal. Well, there's this ice skating rink in a local establishment near Piedmont Park.
Sure.
And apparently they're still going on. You can still ice skate if you wish.
Oh, cool. Very nice. That's kind of somewhat rare here in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Somewhat. Yeah. I mean, it's tough. Go out and do pond skating or anything like that, so you got to go to the local ice rinks.
Mm-hmm. You got to work with the man.
Yeah, that's right.
You got to be in the system.
Yeah, exactly. Do you skate? Do you know how to skate?
Yeah, I know how to skate. I mean, I'm not going to impress anybody but myself by not falling. Mm-hmm. But
do you like hockey?
I'm up there. I love hockey. I like watching hockey just because growing up, I never really got a chance to play outside of, like, you know, the bootleg – finger quote hockey we play down here in the South, where you've got your hockey sticks and you've got something that approximates a puck, but you're just in the street.
Ah, street hockey.
Street hockey.
That's still fun.
It was a lot of fun, but you know what? I didn't know until I went to my first hockey game that blood bounces on the ice.
Does it really?
It freaked me out when I saw it.
It bounces on the ice.
It bounced with this guy.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Also, let's see.
Story for another time.
Story for another time.
Yeah.
Because we already have a story for today, and it's fascinating.
That's right. You know what? One person who also likes watching hockey, apparently.
Who's that?
Charles Schultz.
Oh, yeah?
You know who Charles Schultz is?
The Peanuts guy?
Yeah, the Peanuts guy. The
creator.
Illustrator, and, yeah. The creator of Peanuts. Yeah, as a matter of fact, there have been many references to our topic today in Peanuts cartoons.
Dude, you blew my mind. You're right.
Yeah. Yep. That's right. Because, and I thinking back, yeah, it's like, I can remember this now. Snoopy on the ice.
Yeah.
One of the things that Charlie Brown said in his strip was, there are three things in life that people like to stare at: a flowing stream, a crackling fire, and a Zamboni cleaning the ice.
What an excellent introduction, Scott.
Thank you very much. And, I guess since about, I think 1980 was about the first time that, Zamboni was mentioned in, the Peanuts cartoons, and since then there have been more than 50 references to Zamboni. So Charles Schultz apparently was a fan of Zamboni, as is listener, Car Stuff listener, Ken. Ken, who wrote in from the internet. Didn't say where Ken was from, but wrote in one word, podcast idea. That's not what that was.
That's
that was
title.
The title. Sorry.
That's the title.
Sorry, that's two words. One word, Zamboni. That was it. And I wrote back, excellent idea. We're going to do it. Something like that.
Because, Ken, you are a man of few words, but you pick good ones.
Yeah, that's that was an excellent word, and it did spark my attention because I too love watching the Zamboni machine. I think it's just one of those things you can't tear your eyes off of when you're at the ice rink.
No, you can't.
I don't know why. It's the simplest thing, really.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just resurfacing the ice. It's just making it smooth again. That's all it's doing.
You're already sitting there, though, and you're already in watch a show mode.
Yeah, that's true. It doesn't take very long, mm-hmm. but it's fascinating to see the ice go from, you know, just being diced and cut up and chopped up to perfectly smooth, reusable ice, I guess.
And let's be honest, those machines look weird. They are weird to watch.
They are kind of weird, yeah.
Really interesting.
A little archaic looking. I mean, just because of the shape of them, but it's very, very functional.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, when Ken mentioned that, you know, he wanted to talk about Zamboni, I thought, well, this is probably a good opportunity because it's one of those names that's like a, it's become a generic name.
Yeah.
But it's a trademark name, as a matter of fact. Mm-hmm. And there is a Zamboni company. And as you'll find out, Zamboni is just about the only game in town, really.
Yes, which is, need we say, my friend, remarkably unusual, even extraordinarily unusual.
It certainly is, given the number of ice arenas around. Mm-hmm. Because we're talking about, in general, it's not a Zamboni, it's an ice resurfacing machine.
Yes.
And there have been other ice surfacing machines in the past. Several, as a matter of fact. We'll talk about that when we get to it. But, as far as an ice resurfacing machine, I keep stumbling on it, but ice resurfacing machine.
Right.
Zamboni is the official original trademark name of the machine that you've probably seen at every small ice arena around. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of different models. There are toe behind models. There are the kind that, you know, self-driven, of course. There's even electric models now. So, they're still making advancements. We'll talk about some of the models too when we get to that point.
And first we'll talk about before ice resurfacing machines. Oh no, it's contagious.
Yeah, it's tough.
Just so people know, I think it'd be unrealistic for us to expect a bunch of our listeners to be experts in ice resurfacing history.
Sure.
But, just to establish this, having to resurface an ice rink used to just stink. It was just such a tedious, you know what? I'm going to say it. It was a crappy job.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It's always good to have a job, but this is a crappy one because you would have to, you know, take like water hose and some squeegees, you know, you would have to manually do.
You had to scrape the ice.
Mm-hmm. You had to scrape the ice.
You had to shovel the ice.
You had to do all the things that this beautifully convenient machine does for us.
That's
now.
Exactly right. Yeah. Yeah. It's automated the entire process. And, it was all the thought of one man, Frank J. Zamboni, who founded Zamboni Company.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Born in 1901.
Yeah. That's right. 1901. Can you imagine? That's
wow.
A long time ago.
Yeah.
How'd this happen? He and his brother. Well, actually, his family was in the ice business,
mm-hmm.
Refrigeration business, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
Because remember, prior to this, there was not electric refrigeration.
Right.
This is prior to the refrigerators that you have in your house.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a need for block ice, things like that. This company, his family's company, provided that. They provided block ice. And they were in California. They were in Southern California.
Mm-hmm.
And God, that's got to be hard.
To make that?
Making ice in Southern California. Huh?
Well, they had a factory to make it. It's
I know.
Yeah.
They're not trying to make it out in the desert.
Right. But it's tough. Yeah.
I can imagine that's a tough climate to make ice in.
And the business, you know, what they do with that kind of business at that time is they have ice around perishable cargo that's mm-hmm. shipped by rail.
Yeah.
And then so the problem here arrives, when refrigeration technology keeps getting better and better and better and better.
Yeah.
It's still not to the icebox in your house, but people can kind of see the way the trend is going.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Zamboni family starts to think, I don't know if block of ice business is the best industry going forward.
Yeah, that's right. They were very smart. They looked forward and they said, you know what? We've got to adapt. How are we going to adapt? And what they did was they opened – which is kind of this is entrepreneurial during the time.
Definitely,
they opened an ice rink,
mm-hmm.
a family ice rink for recreation and for sporting events, and you know just mm-hmm. general enjoyment.
Okay? Iceland skating rink
in Paramount, California. Mm-hmm. This is in Southern California. So, you know, they've got all this refrigeration business expertise, how to keep the ice, everything. But here's the problem, Ben. They've got to do that manual resurfacing of the ice. And you know how long that takes?
Especially if you have a 20,000 square foot rink.
Yeah. Do you know how long that takes?
No.
He found that it took a crew of five men an hour and a half to resurface the ice.
Too long.
Way too long. So now you know that, you know, when you get out there with dull skates or whatever, mm-hmm. and skate around, it gets gouged up and the ice is a mess.
Yeah.
It takes a long, long time. And it's uneven if you're trying to do it the way they were doing it because they were scraping it, shoveling it. They'd have to spray it down with a hose, smooth it out, squeegee it out, wait for it, you know, to find any low spots, you know, check the corners, do everything that they had to do. It took an hour and a half for this thing to refreeze.
And they're losing money the whole time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because
you can't have people on there.
There's people not skating in an hour and a half. And that's happening several times a day. You know, and these crews are just exhausting themselves and they're paying for the men to do it. Well, Frank started to think like, oh, there's got to be a better way to do this. So he started to make these machines out of tractors that would do the same types of functions. They would scrape the ice. You know, he would plow the ice, whatever he would do. And he started to develop these throughout the years. And over the years, he finally got to the point where about in 1949, this is 9 years after they opened this ice rink, he had something called the Model A all ready to go. And this was probably the most successful of his designs. Mm-hmm. It was patented in 1949, this ice resurfacing machine. And what that did was it was the exact same functions that the men had performed. It doesn't say the time that it took this thing to do it because it's probably slower than they are today, I'm sure.
Definitely.
But, not a lot. The Zamboni machine, what it does is it cuts the ice with a blade. Then it kind of scoops up the shavings into a tank using an auger or a paddle design, you know, like with scoops, scoops those up into I think this one had an overhead bin where it collected the ice shavings. Mm-hmm. And then there's a water tank that would lay out a real thin mist of warm water onto the ice. And then it would kind of smooth it out with this towel-like device, that would kind of like a chamois almost, that would wiggle over the ice and smooth it. And this cut the time dramatically. For the time it took to resurface the ice. And, you know, this design it quickly caught on. Everybody saw it and said, I've got to have one of those. Yeah. You know, it's patented. He starts building them one at a time and the rest is history.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at this point, we're up to the production numbers of something like 8,500 that have been built already.
Which is crazy.
8,500. That's a lot when you consider they're all handmade. They're all made in one little factory, which is still in California.
Yeah.
That's an awful lot of machines and they offer several different models now, too.
Mm-hmm. And they've got the it's funny when we're talking about the Model A because while he was using it, people say that it was only used at Iceland.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing how quickly this grew in some ways as a business, the Zamboni business.
Yeah.
But still it stayed so small, as you say, with that one factory in California. And although these new iterations, these new generations of vehicles are, you know, continually improving, like the Model B and I mean, it goes down the alphabet, you know?
Yeah, sure.
But the one thing that's amazing to me is they haven't branched out too much into, you know, there's not like a coupe.
No, there's nothing like that. No, because these are very functional. They're very, very functional machines. They do exactly what they're supposed to do. They all pretty much look the same.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm sure that they would argue with that, but, there's the Model 445. These are just models now. I'm going to flip through this list real quick here, but the 445, the 525, they all have different features, different engines. That's a 545. Got that again. there's the 552 electric. Which I thought was kind of cool. They've got an electric Zamboni, and they've got an even newer version of the electric Zamboni right now, which is, let me get to it, the 560 AC electric, which is the latest. And that one came out in middle of 2010, I believe. So we're talking, you know, they're still right now developing new Zambonis for the ice and, you know, coming out with new power sources for them. And I can imagine that, you know, an electric Zamboni is a big deal to an ice rink owner who doesn't want, you know, a combustion engine fired up inside a closed room with a bunch of kids and, you know, school parties and hockey games. And there's a lot of people in these buildings. Mm-hmm. And throughout the day, I'm sure that it gets expensive to, you know, open the doors or turn on the vents to get the exhaust gases out of the rink.
Definitely.
More than what you would normally have to do anyways. But, I think it would be definitely worthwhile to get something that's, you know, better for your client's health.
Scott, I have kind of a thesis, a little proposition
sure.
about how the question we have here is twofold. First off, it's why icing rinks, right? Why did he start messing with that? And mm-hmm. that's pretty self-explanatory. We've
sure.
we've tackled that. The second question is why Zamboni? Why was it this family, not some other group of people? You know, who built these sort of machines? Now we know that there were some other players in the game. That
yeah, there have
up.
Been. Yeah, there have been some competition, I guess. And in fact, you know, going down the there's a site called Zamboni.com,
mm-hmm.
and you can get all of this information if you'd like there, because there's an FAQ section that's perfect for this. But they're not the only one to be out there. There have been some other competitors, but these are the long-lasting guys right here. You'll find out that there have been five competitors that have come and gone in the United States, eight in Canada, one of which still manufactures machines, according to the site. So there's only one competitor in Canada, none here in the United States. Zamboni has hung on. They're really the only one.
Yeah, hang on implies that they've had a tough time, but from what we can tell in our research, they've been doing pretty well.
Yeah, yeah, like, no kidding.
You can read different news articles. That there's actually an article out about how, despite the economic downturn, Zamboni continued to do all right.
Isn't that amazing? I mean, yeah. Well, it's a needed service. I mean, people need this service, whether it's for sports, whether it's for, recreation,
mm-hmm.
it's necessary. I mean, and servicing of these machines and they also do restoration. You know, I think they found, some older machines in, you know, a building that had burned down, and were able to reconstruct those machines. They do all kinds of service at that factory in Southern California. And, as of right now, apparently they don't offer any factory tours, because I took a look at that too to see if they were offering any factory tours to see one being built. And they said it's just a working factory. They don't really do that at this point, but maybe they will.
I saw that too, man, but I was thinking, and I don't want to get us in trouble, but I was thinking, what if we just showed up and asked?
Maybe.
Because
you know, they've got a huge marketing division now. So if you go to Zamboni.com, you can buy caps and you can buy shirts,
yeah.
License plates, those little,
like keychain fobs.
Yeah, exactly. You can buy all kinds of Zamboni mm-hmm. gear right now. So that's kind of cool. One thing I wanted to mention was, you know, the people who get to drive these Zambonis.
Yeah, how do you get that job?
That must be pretty cool. Apparently, it's not as easy as you might think. I tried when I was in high school. I tried to drive the Zamboni at the local ice rink.
Did you?
Yeah, the thing that kept me back from even taking the job or considering it was the hours, because they had some really crazy hours that you'd have to work as a high school student.
Yeah, you'll be there pretty late.
Yeah, very late, because people are buying ice time late in the night, mm-hmm. and you have to be able to clean the ice at those times, you know, because that's not the prime time. That's when they have their normal Zamboni driver guy do it.
You have
to start at the bottom, and you know, you get the bad times, and as a high school kid, you just can't do that sometimes.
Yeah.
But I did for a short while wanted to ride the Zamboni.
What's it like driving it?
I didn't get to take a test drive? No, didn't get to that point. It was just
the hours themselves.
Not even possible. But oh, while we're talking about that.
Yeah.
One more side note here. There's a song about Zamboni. Zamboni song.
Are you gonna?
I want to drive the Zamboni. No, I'm not gonna say it, I don't think. But look it up. It's by let's see, who sings it? Martin Zeller and the Gear Daddies. So
the
look
Gear
that
Daddies.
Up. Yeah, it's a short little song. You'll like it, I think. It's catchy. And you know what? I can't get out of my head because I've been singing it for the last 3 days. And
you're not going to do any of it.
No, I'm not.
I respect
to.
You. You know, that's why we hang out. A note.
I went down to the local arena. That's it. That's all you're
getting. Thank you, Scott.
Okay. And usually, in major sporting events, like you're talking about NHL, the stadium manager is the one who gets to drive the Zamboni. And that's in Detroit, that's Al Sabaka. A lot of people will know Al's name.
Mm-hmm.
Funny, but I would say in Detroit, if you're a hockey fan, I would bet that 95% of all hockey fans in Detroit know Al Sabaka. Or know his name, at least. Know who he is. And he's the guy that drives the Zamboni.
And probably have seen him, even if they didn't.
Do you have any idea who drives the Zamboni here in Atlanta?
None. I know it's not me. And
me either.
It's not you
either. Me either, but I'm saying that's like the hockey culture, the hockey difference.
Yeah.
You know, that they pay attention to that. And this guy, he's kind of like a local celebrity, this guy.
I can see that.
And he does some interviews. So you know, when you're talking about Zamboni and you know, just what it's like to drive one, his name will often come up in these articles because people go to him.
Mm-hmm.
He's just one of these one of the guys that they talked to for this. He's been doing it for more than 20 years at this point. He said there's a lot of pressure involved in it, especially that first time out on the ice because – and you might not think that there's a lot of pressure in it, but there really is. There's a pattern that you have to follow.
Yeah.
There's a very strict pattern. I've got that line right here if you want to take a look at it. But it's concentric circles that usually go clockwise. And you're trying not to miss a single spot of ice because if you do, boy, that crowd's going to let you have it.
Solid, even coat.
That's right. I thought you meant coat of – I don't know, coverage of beer when they dump it on you.
I've meant both of those. Gotcha.
Yeah, because the crowd's watching you. I mean, if you hit the boards, you know, if you bump into the boards when you're driving it, if you miss any bit of ice that you don't resurface, big trouble, Ben.
Oh, they'll know because they're just watching and drinking.
They're waiting for you to mess up, right? So, you know, if you use more water in some places than others, there's a problem. If you hesitate at all, there's a problem. So there's a lot to it, really. I mean, he said there's actually a lot more pressure than you would think. Each circle takes about 50 seconds, he says. This is just an average NHL, the NHL
regulation size.
And I guess whatever model Zamboni they happen to have with whatever size blade. But, the goal is, and this is, I didn't know this, but there's kind of a time mark that's kind of, sort of mythical. You know, we talked about Pike's Peak had a 10 minute mark?
Yes.
12 minute, 10 minute?
I thought it was 10.
Maybe it's 10. There's a 6 minute mark for cleaning the ice in NHL hockey. And I didn't know that until this point. He apparently had done that at one point a few years ago. He went just under 6 minutes, his best time ever. So he times himself. But it works out just right with the size of the blade and the size of the rink. 6 minutes is apparently you're doing very well.
Okay. And that's the gold standard.
If you go less, you might not do quite not do quite as good a job, or you might miss some spots, things like that. But he said, also there are some rinks now, I think, that use 2 Zambonis at a time to get it done faster. So that doesn't count either. But, 6 minutes is kind of this mark for Zamboni drivers that I had never heard of until this interview with Al.
I didn't know, you know, I guess I should have thought of that, Scott. I didn't know that they would time themselves, but it makes so much sense.
Well,
now.
I think it's just a pride issue.
Yeah.
You know, he did it during some youth hockey league thing, championship or something. And, you know, he takes pride in it, you know, that he did it in under 6 minutes. But, you know, the thing is that when you look back at what it used to take, you know, it took an hour and a half, and now we're doing this in
5 people.
With 5 people, and now we're doing this in 6 minutes. Can you imagine a hockey game where between every period you had to wait an hour and a half? That adds 3 hours to a game.
You know, I don't know if I could imagine. I can imagine it, but with very strange ideas about what happens when you have the fans waiting.
They'd have to stamp your hand and let you come back from the bar.
Oh, one note with those things, though, so people know. I think we've done an all right job establishing that driving these is not as easy as it looks.
Oh, definitely not. No, there's a lot going on.
That's not just some nitwit sitting on a seat.
Oh, no. There's more to that going on.
In fact, the Model A's have 4-wheel drive.
Oh, really?
For a time, because Frank Zamboni figured out that if he had 4-wheel drive on the machine, it kind of messed it up. It made it tougher to drive because, if you're trying to steer away from the boards and you're close to the boards, and you've got 4-wheel drive, the rear wheels.
They want to pull you back in. Yeah, that's right. So I've felt that with, you know, if you have a vehicle that has 4-wheel low in it, a low gear, and you try to make a sharp turn, you'll feel it instantly. What happens? It starts shaking and shuddering. There's just no way.
And then it can be that's bad just thing. Compounded when you're on a machine that's smoothing out ice.
Yeah, I bet it's just chattering and jumping everywhere.
Yeah. So just that, I just wanted to make that little note in fairness to the drivers. You know, it clearly is, there is a symbolic importance to attachment, but they also are people who know what they're doing. There's also a skill set.
Oh, definitely skill. Yeah, there's definitely a skill to it. I mean, you can't go out there and expect to do it perfect the first time. I don't think that's even possible.
So if you're contemplating Grand Theft Auto, don't go with a Zamboni.
That's right.
For numerous reasons.
No, if you're really driving one and you're working the pressure tanks and watching the blade depth and, you know, trying to make sure that the tank isn't full of shavings and, you know, the pattern that you're following and the speed you're going and trying not to hit the boards. And there's just so much involved with it that it really is. It's difficult. You're doing a lot of different things at one time, and these guys should get some respect.
What do you think we would need to line up to drive a Zamboni?
Oh, man. I don't know. I think that if it was an off time, Someone might let us do it.
We could talk them into it.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you're like an affable, kind of charming person. You're a people person.
You talk my way in, is what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe. Okay. Maybe we should try it. I'd love to.
All right, I'll hang out in the hallway. You work out the details.
I'll go somewhere else, right?
And we'll swoop in.
Yeah.
Well, Scott, are we done?
I think so. Yeah. We've covered Zamboni and Frank Zamboni and his contributions. So, Ken, I hope that was enough. And, if not, there's plenty more on Zamboni.com you guys can check out.
Mm-hmm. And if you'd like to take a page from Ken's book and get in contact with us, you can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Twitter. We also have a blog. And, of course, we work for a website you may have heard of if you've listened to this podcast. And if you want to follow exactly in Ken's footsteps, please send us an email at
carstuff@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. To learn more about the podcast, click on the podcast icon in the upper right corner of our homepage. The HowStuffWorks iPhone app has arrived. Download it today on iTunes.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
You've probably heard a lot about electrified vehicles lately. Well, Toyota has electrified options for every lifestyle. We've got hybrids, no plug needed.
All right, let's go.
But we also have plug-in hybrids, if that's your thing. You can even go 100% electric in the Toyota BZ4X. With so many options for reducing carbon emissions, Toyota is electrified, diversified. Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.